Hello, and welcome to another in a series of award-winning Financially Fit podcasts brought to you by the New Jersey Society of Certified Public Accountants. Today's podcast is on converting to a Roth IRA. With us is Rosemary Irvin. Ms. Irvin is with the Hunter Group in Fairlawn, and she's a member of the New Jersey Society of CPAs Tax Resource Group. Rosemary, good afternoon.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good, thanks. If you could just give our listeners a quick primer on the difference between a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA.
Essentially, a regular or a traditional, the original IRAs, they result in a deduction when a contribution is made to the account. And any funds distributed from the IRA are taxed at the time of distribution. Earnings accumulated within the regular IRA are not taxed until they're distributed. Roth IRAs, on the other hand, don't generate a deduction when they're funded. The distributions are not taxed at all. The earnings accumulated within a Roth IRA are not subject to income tax. So essentially, a regular IRA is income tax deferred, and a Roth IRA is income tax free, with caveats.
Okay. Now, why is this year, 2010, an important year when considering a conversion from a traditional to a Roth?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about this for the past few years because this was passed several years ago and we've all been waiting for the year 2010. And the difference between this year and other years is that historically all filers, except married filing separately, have been able to roll over their regular IRA to a Roth if their adjusted gross income did not exceed $100,000. And for that purpose, when you calculate the adjusted gross income, you don't include the IRA in it. But for this year, starting this year in 2010, that $100,000 limitation is suspended, and most people who are interested in doing it don't have that limitation. In general, the amount of rollover is included in your income, but for rollovers in 2010, the rollover income doesn't have to be included on your 2010 tax return. It can be spread over 2011 and 2012. Essentially, that equates to a longer deferral of the tax payment. There's a provision to recharacterize should the investment lose value, which when the law was originally passed, it was almost unheard of that your IRA would be worth less next year than it was this year. But that's happening with the markets today. So there's a couple of issues that have been addressed by the legislation. And if somebody does put their money into a Roth this year and they pay the tax on it and it's worth less, you actually have until October 15th of 2011 to pull it out and bring it back into the regular IRA.
Now, who would be a good candidate for this type of conversion?
Several different people come to mind. Because we're talking about tax-free versus a tax-deferred environment, essentially what we do is a net present value calculation. The longer it stays in there tax-free, the greater benefit. So essentially that would mean a younger person would benefit more, someone who has more time to leave it in the account. Another candidate, say someone with a shorter horizon, but they may want to leave the whole retirement fund to their heirs. Because the difference between a traditional and a Roth is a traditional IRA requires the retiree to take annual distributions when they reach 70 and a half. A Roth IRA doesn't have any required minimum distributions. So there's several different candidates. It would be difficult to say a young person or an older person. Everyone should look at it, but every situation is different.
Sure. And are there any other tax implications to this process?
Well, everyone's tax bracket changes each year, unless you have exactly the same income. But there's always tweaks to the tax laws, and income differs from year to year. So you have to really do a study and determine, is 2010 actually a year when your income would be lower, where you could support this additional income, or do you want to elect to take it? Actually, the election is made to take it in 2010. The norm would be to take it over 2011 and 2012. But you have to monitor several things like the alternative minimum tax. You have to look at potential Social Security and Medicare benefits. There are a lot of implications when your income goes up where those other benefits may be limited. And we're also facing increased tax rates right now with the expiration of the Bush administration's tax cuts. They sunset in December of 2010. So we kind of think the rates are going to be higher after 2010, although that hasn't been passed yet. There's no specific legislation on it. But we do know that the lower tax rates that we've been enjoying since the early 2000s are sunsetting on December 31st, 2010. And then don't overlook the estate tax. Whatever passes to heirs, other than to a spouse at death, is included in the estate assets. And this can be higher if you're not taking a required minimum distribution. So in addition to looking at tax rates, Social Security, and other benefits, you also need to look at the estate issue if you have sizable assets.
Now, if you do a conversion, will it impact how and when you can access your IRA, when you can access those funds?
There is, because anything rolled from a traditional to a Roth has to stay there for at least 5 years before any tax-free withdrawal is allowed. And also, you have to be over 59 and a half to take that withdrawal. So let's assume a 60-year-old converts from a traditional to a Roth and pays the tax. They open the Roth in 2010. No distributions can be taken until 5 years forward. So even though you're allowed to take a distribution after age 59 and a half, when you put it in the Roth, it has to stay there for 5 years. Otherwise, it acts like a regular IRA. You pay tax on the distribution.
Now, let's say this is a good fit for someone. How do they go about converting?
Well, there's, as usual, there's lots of rollover forms. And please advise everyone to read all the pages. This is a good time to review the beneficiaries. We so often work on estates and people say, oh, I didn't know that my father left it to my mother. She's been dead for, you know, 4 years. So what you want to do is you fill out all the forms and look at the beneficiaries, look at contingent beneficiaries. And the other real important thing is consider where you're going to get the money, where you're going to get the funds to pay the tax. Ideally, you don't want to take that from your distribution, particularly if you're under 59 and a half, because you're subject to a penalty on anything that doesn't get rolled over. Like, for example, let's say you rolled $10,000, and the tax on that's going to be $1,000. You don't want to take your $10,000 out and only roll $9,000 because the other $1,000 you're going to pay a penalty on. So you want to make sure that you have funds set aside to pay for the tax on the rollover, whether you elect to pay that tax on April 15th in 2011 or you're going to pay it in the subsequent 2 years that the rollers in 2010 are allowed to elect to spread it over 2 additional years.
Thank you very much, Rosemary, for this great information.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how much tax revenue is raised by this opportunity for people to change their retirement funding.
Excellent. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Financially Fit podcast. To learn more about other financial issues, please visit the NJS CPA's consumer website at www.moneymattersnj.com. That's www.moneymattersnj.com.